Capital 263.
What up, what up? How you doing? Welcome to Nayo Nayo and the other guys and figuring out life in 30 or so minutes, which is never true because life sometimes. Your life gets lifey. You know what I mean? And 30 minutes is not nearly enough to figure it out. But thankfully, today on the show, I've got two people who actually, the funny part, Mark was introduced to me through Miriam. So today, it's like I would have never known Mark had it not been for Miriam. And I think probably I vibe with Mark a lot more than I vibe with Miriam nowadays because Miriam is like super busy. Oh my gosh. Miriam is always busy and stuff. But yes, so Mark, how are you doing?
I'm good, my guy. Hey. It's been a while. I know you've
been. It has been a while, Mark. I was at your house recently. Hasn't been a while.
I came to my house on, that Monday.
I have to say, Mark is a very neat guy. Mark is the type of guy where he's got like slides, like Jumarafta for outside. And then when you come into the house, then he's got like these Japan version type shoes for the inside. You don't just walk into Mark's house without like just wearing your shoes from outside. You have to slide into those like slops that he provides for visitors. But then he didn't provide me with slops or anything. I just had to go in and, you know, become barefooted in his house. Mark is like a chakra hand.
You know, you had to go in raw, like you do on your wedding. You had to go in raw, just like how you do on your wedding night.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know why. Okay, I don't know. Like, listen, guys, I have got Sunday school parents listening to this podcast, and I'm like, I don't know what they think, but it is what it is. Which is in any other, like, there is no other better way of going through marriage except, you know, the particular way which, you know, Mark just described, because, you know, that's the beauty of it. Right, Miriam?
Right, when I
and we've got our very favorite what do we call you, a baker, a gift maker,
I'm a happiness, okay, I was gonna say happiness chaser, baker, gift person. I'm officially someone's cake person. Like, do you know how many times I have like people going, Miri, I need a cake for this, and it's like umpteenth time. So I'm now like, I've now finally registered that I'm actually someone's cake person. Like the first person someone thinks of when they need a cake for anything, which is amazing. So yeah, I guess that makes me someone's cake person.
Miri is the plug, guys. Miri is the plug.
Miriam is dope at what she does. I have bought gifts from Miriam to pass on to, friends. But Miriam, can you please tell me what has been the success rate of, you know, the facilitation of umjolo from the gifts that, you know, are purchased from your establishment? Because they ain't never worked with me.
Funny enough, I have this one client who like regularly bought things when he was macking on his girlfriend. Like the girlfriend, well, at the time, like the friend he was macking on, she stayed in Zimra Park. Well, she still stays in Zimra Park. And I think every 2 weeks we would send like flowers and chocolates and flowers and donuts and cupcakes, flowers, and now they're together. So yeah.
2 weeks, every 2 weeks.
It was every 2 weeks or so. And the cool thing is I'm still actually sending gifts to like the girlfriend and stuff. Like recently he had an order on Friday, I think, or Saturday morning. And he's like, yo, Miri, I need those flowers and what? And I'm like, yeah, you know me. I got you, my guy. So yeah, that I have actually successfully, ushered in new relationships with my gifts and stuff, which makes
the same. I think one of the most coolest things about Miriam's gifts is if you describe what it is that you're trying to do, like she can actually give you a second or so to kind of think about the type of lines you want to put on the gifts. And I really do appreciate that about Miriam, like, because there's an actual, so if you read her blog, Miriam is a very wordy person. She's got all these really, she's got a way with words, and it translates in the gifts that she makes for people. And I really appreciate that about Miriam. And I think if you're one of those people who's like looking to talk to a girl who wants to see the meaningfulness of your words, you should probably get a potted plant from Miriam. And you know, she comes with the bars and stuff. So, you know, shout out to your business, Miriam. Now, this is what you call supporting your friend's hustle. This what I just did.
Wow.
Right. I'm just saying.
Thank you, Anai. I appreciate it. I really do appreciate it. I'm sure I've actually gotten a lot of business because of you. And I know I've gotten a lot of business from people's recommendations. And I really do appreciate that.
And the name of the business is?
Cuptown Cakes. Well, it's now Cuptown Gifts and Confectionery because we've gone beyond cakes. Mm. But on socials, it's Cuptown Cakes.
Shout out to Miriam. So let's, I was also going to say, Miriam should now start making breakup presents. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Yeah, that would make sense, right?
Like, there's a thing called Gupuru. I don't know what I'm going to 10 bond and then Jatopera.
Nah, girls like money too much, but they want presents to mac on them. Then they also want presents to break up with them. Yeah, y'all are wild. But let's get to a bottom.
Did you see the song I sent you about ending?
I haven't because I want to laugh at it properly, but I will listen. I'm telling you, I will listen. Wow. Let's get to about a week ago, guys. Let's get to about a week ago. Listeners should be warned that the next part of this show could be a bit disturbing and it might awake emotions and thoughts and feelings that might be uncomfortable to go through. We do not want to offend anyone in the segment, but we do understand that some of the things that we may say may sound offensive. About a week ago. Approximately a week ago, we woke up to the news of a 14-year-old Memory Machaya who passed away at a religious shrine, which was later on identified as, I think it's one of the Johane Marange shrines. And it seems as if she passed away either during childbirth or after. And, you know, one of the circumstances that led to her passing away is because that church, I think one of the rules of those churches is that they do not go to hospitals. Now, I know that's not even the worst bit. The worst bit is it's a 14-year-old girl pregnant. And from what I think I've read on many publications, that the baby actually survived, but Memory sadly lost her life. Now, there was a lot of outrage from many sectors of our society, obviously, because, you know, we bring back the question of ending child marriages, and she clearly was part of a system which part of a church actually which promotes child marriage. I want to be very respectful because, you know, there's a whole group of people who go to this church, and, you know, you might know someone who goes to it, but at the same time, I want to be very truthful of how absolutely saddening the practice of child marriage is, and that it is within an institution of a group of church, and church which is meant to represent a lot of things, love, care, and stuff. It just doesn't make sense to me how little girls, 14-year-old girls, 15 sometimes, 16 even, you know, 13, 10. I don't know which ages, but clearly she got married at 13 and then at 14, and then you've got this child marriage thing going on. So obviously there was also a lot of backlash. And then the UN ushered a statement, and, you know, there was a hashtag and justice for memory and all that. Now, I was having this conversation with Mark when I visited him, and he told me something very interesting. Mark told me that he actually was a member of that church at some point, to which I was super shocked. And, you know, Mark is always jokey, but he had like a sad face. And Mark is here today, obviously, because I was like, you know, if you want, let's talk about this experience of yours on the podcast. First of all, before, you know, we get to why Mark left the church and how it's even seen as permissible to have children at that age being married, like from the church's perspective, like what goes into that religious practice, you know? I want to know, Miriam, what are your thoughts on what happened?
Well, yo, when I saw the story, I think it was last week, it was really sad that this was going on. And what's even sadder is it's not the first story and it's not the last story that we hear about, you know, young kids getting married and young kids having kids and whatnot. Yeah, it's quite sad. It's really devastating. But yo, I don't know. It's really sad.
And before I hit Mark with the questions, I think one of the things that was evident on social media was you then had, I think, certain political leaders trying to engage with the church, and it always felt like they were trying to be politically correct and nice with, like, they weren't like smacking them, like, you stop that. And, you know, someone was like, what is it about the church? What do they have? And then someone's like, votes. And I think one of the things we need to understand, numbers, and one of the things we need to understand, it's quite a big church and it represents a big section that certain political interests could be aligned to. But at the same time, also, even outside, you know, the idea of numbers, I don't know how much outrage works to change a system like that, because, which is my question, is our anger going to ever work to change this? Because like Miriam said, this has happened for a while. Now, Mark, when you saw this, tell me what went through your mind.
I couldn't finish reading the story, to be honest.
Why?
Because like what Miriam said, it's not the first time that this has happened. It has happened many times. Some I even heard during my time within the church, but nothing happened, right? So I couldn't finish reading the story. I was just like, you know, I just couldn't finish reading the story. It was just, it just hit me in a certain way due to experiences and all of that. And yeah, I couldn't finish reading the story. That's all I'm going to say.
Now, Mark, tell me, when did you first realize that the church that you were going to did this?
Okay, so I think to give context, I grew up in this church, the Juan Marangi Church. I grew up in it. My parents got married in it, like the whole family, basically, you know, even the Kumusha folks. It's been a family church. So I was part of it basically since birth. And you know, it is, as you grow up, you're going to church because that's what your parents are said to do. But even then, there are always stories about this church, right? And you even remember when you met up and you asked me, like, so how did you even tell people that you went to this church? And I said, I did it. And that's it. It's something that I never said out loud to people because of the various stories that always came out of it. So in most cases, you find that I used to just pick another church and just say, oh yeah, I go to this church and keep it moving, because I didn't want to be associated with this. But it only got stronger as I grew older, let's say in Form 1, it just grew stronger that I did not want to be associated with this news, because I was just like, nah, this is not cool. So, but I had to keep on going because of family. First from my parents, and then after my parents passed away, my grandmother, and there was no way you could say no. I don't know how I should say this, but it's only after my grandmother passed away that I was like, yeah, I think now the whole became a bit loose. That's when I started just pulling myself away But to answer your question, you know, I started noticing some of these things as early as grade 7, right? Because now, remember, you grew up in a community whereby you have some of these church members around you. They have kids, girls, rather, who maybe you go to the same school with, right? You might play together with them. And you grow up with these people, you play with them, you start getting to know them, but after at a certain point, you start missing from school. They're not coming to school. You don't get to play them with them more often. You can't ask because they're like, oh, well, whatever, right? And they just disappear from your circle. And again, you don't know who to ask. You don't know what to ask because you're just like, oh, okay, maybe they're not there. So, yeah, I can say around grade 7, that's when I started noticing it. And that's when I started paying attention to just some of these things. Friends, some of them who might know, they start disappearing from your circles, from school, even from church. You don't see them that often. Or they come once in a while, but you don't get to talk to them. And yeah, that was it.
When you think back at your time there, what was the basis of that sort of practice? Or what is the basis of that sort of practice? I don't know if you had grown up to understand, you know, why it's done, especially I think it's because, and I know that lots of a good section of men in the church are also quite polygamous as well. But what goes behind it? What's the justification of it from the culture of the church? What makes it right? Like, what is the, we do this because that?
To be honest, I never found an answer to that. It was all, I guess it starts from the point of, you know, be fruitful and multiply, that statement, right? And they pick it up with certain scripture from their own specific Bible, right? Which they read from. And I guess it comes from that. As to why they then say, you know, like, why specifically young girls, I honestly don't know. I never got to find out that part.
Do you feel like some of the men in there don't like it, but because, you know, like you stated, you were part of the church, there were family ties to it, that some guys, and it's kind of hard to even think about, like, guys who wouldn't want it, but then it's forced on them. Do you think some men are also kind of prisoners to that, are beholden to doing it because it's one of the things that give them a sense of belonging to that church? Because surely there's a Mark out there, right, who's like, this is not cool. But if Mark had stayed, would he have felt like would he have felt like he was compelled to do it too? And all of a sudden, he's on the other side of a hashtag.
Yeah, definitely. They were there. So I know of a couple of people, right, whereby for the longest time, these guys tried to have one wife, but almost pressured every now and then to say, yo, fam, bro, how far? When are you getting the next wife? Right. And I even remember of this other guy. this guy who we stayed with quite a while. Same church. He had his wife, right? So the wife's little sister came through. Right? And then 2 or 3 months down the line, this wife's young sister was now this guy's second wife. Yeah. And put that. And that even, to me, that was just like, it didn't make sense. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I was still young. I think back then I was around grade six, grade seven, when that happened. Like, oh, wow, okay. And then, yeah, I know of a couple of people who try to have one wife, but the system always kept forcing them, or rather pushing them towards taking a second wife, taking a third wife, right? And
did the wives necessarily have to be young children, girls? Or it's just...
young? I don't know. I'm not sure. But yes, like I said, there were times whereby, like I said, friends who you don't see anymore, and next thing, you know, you never see them. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's a church thing, right? It's a church thing. The unfortunate part is I never got the chance to find out more, because I then left.
Mm-hmm.
I left, that was form three.
Mm.
Right. That's when I can say I effectively left the church. But it had obviously affected me in certain ways, you know, which I'm sure I mentioned to you when we were together. And yeah, and that's why I then said to you, in as much as maybe you find, I get it, you might not understand it, and you might try to be cordial about it.
Mm.
But as and based on experiences, I won't, because for the most time, it made me feel some type of way about this. All of this made me feel some type of way because I was affected directly by all of this. And that pain makes me feel some type of way about this church.
Right.
And that's just my standpoint of it.
I wanted to ask, like, if there were guys like you, what do you think the guys want to leave? Like, what's stopping them from leaving?
Family, I guess. Family ties, I guess. I guess that being the biggest thing. You don't understand that the effects or the reach of family has on you, and you may be wanting to leave. Because I'll give myself an example, right? Like I said, my parents grew up in me, right? And after my parents, the baton to make sure that I continue to go to church was passed on to my grandmother, who started living with us in Bulawayo, right? But after my grandmother passed away, no one else was in the vicinity to monitor that we go to church. So why that is, it's because the person who I then started living with after my grandmother passed away, like my uncle had left it when it came to life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on his part, sorry to say this, on his part, he was only making us go to church because my grandmother, who was his mother, made that directive, like, these children need to go to church. So I guess that was his main reason. But after my grandmother passed away, he also just chilled about it, right? Never put under pressure to, like, yeah, he should go to church, wah, wah, wah. It never happened. And I guess as a result, that was...
Would you say there was any type of good that came from this church, or that comes from this church, since it's still kind of standing?
Mary, I've lost a sister because of this church. Might as well just...
Really sorry to hear that, Mark. Really sorry to hear that.
Right. I've lost a sister because of this church. I have two sisters. My other sister, both are married in this church. My other sister is still alive, but But yeah, yeah. So like I said, it hits differently. It hits directly. And that is why I feel a certain type of way. I've lost a sister because of this church, simply because of the whole notion of you don't take people to the hospital, right? That hurts. Losing a family member because they can't get the care, the medical care they need, because the church said they can't go to the hospital. That is me, right? My sister, my other sister, is still within the church. And yeah, you can see the effects on how we get along. It's not the best. And I wouldn't say there is tension, but because of then my new beliefs and all of that, we are not as close because of that, right? And that's where you're like, I don't see any good coming from this, to be honest.
Yo, that's a lot, Mark. That's a lot that you have to deal with, I guess. Yeah, it's quite a lot. And I'm absolutely grateful that you can share, because a lot of people don't. I think some of the noogies, I'm sure some of the noogies know, but some people probably don't understand what it feels like, how the pain is so far reaching.
Yeah.
When we talked about it, you mentioned something about certain rules that don't allow maybe girls, ladies not to communicate as much. I don't know if you can speak on it, because I guess if I was going to ask a question on the other side is, what sort of things could probably stop some girls from escaping? And this is a very big ask, because these are like 13-year-olds, sometimes 14, and maybe even the ones who are above the age of consent under this sad practice, right? What sort of barriers are there that kind of stop them from speaking out sometimes?
I think the biggest is this church tries to almost cut you out from the rest of the world. For example, they are not allowed to go on WhatsApp. For starters, they're not allowed to go on WhatsApp. One of the main reasons why I guess I don't talk to my sister a lot. They're not allowed to go on WhatsApp, first and foremost. Two, there is this huge overt disdain about the secular world, quote unquote. You know, they always preach against this, you know, the secular world. Dare I say they even preach against educating kids, right? They know that the moment you open these kids to this thing, they will start questioning them. So the best way to keep you within the system is to keep you locked within the system, right? Education is not you never hear them talk about education. And it's even scarier now on the girl child, whereby after form two, form three, form four, this person is already being told to get married, right? And they're like, what the hell? I almost went through the same process, but that's a story for another day. But yeah, they try to keep you within the church, and so that you're not exposed to some of these things that from the outside world, so that you don't have any support system from outside, and your support system is within the church. And once your lifeline is within the church, then they know that you can't do anything, because you can't go anywhere. You can only do anything within the church. And that way, they keep you in, and they know that it's going to be perpetual, right? You, your kids, your grandkids, and all of that.
Mark, do they also groom young men the way they groom the young women, Kuti, at like after form two or whatever, you get married. Is it the same for the guys as well, to say when you reach 16, you're supposed to have your first wife, when you reach 20, you're supposed to have your second wife, something like that? Does it apply to the guys as well?
Funny enough, it doesn't. I wouldn't say it does. Because, okay. So for starters, right? For starters, the whole church is set out seating arrangement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like on the, so you sit on two separate sides. Guys sit on one side, the females sit on one side, right? On the female side, the front line occupied by these young girls, right? And behind the young girls, we have the rest of the females, the married women, Antica. But on the guy side, the front part is filled by the old guys. And the young boys are at the back. Figures why these people do that, so that, you know, you can scope out the potentials, right? So I guess on the guy side, it only starts maybe, let's say, around, give or take, 23, 24, as you get older and you push more to the front, right? And then they start, you know, telling you these questions. Oh, now time for you to get married, blah, blah, blah. So as you move up the line on the guy side, you know, then it starts, oh yeah, now you should get married, blah, blah, blah. You get married, you find your first wife, find your second wife, and all of that. So on the guys, I would say it's a bit easier, but it's now ingrained, you know, due to, like I said, how they try to cut you out from the rest of the world and keep you within the church. But as you get older, you know, like I was, the more you spend time in the system, the more you pick up its traits, and you end up doing the same. So in as much as they might not verbally or openly teach guys about these things, but it's now more of a psychological thing. It's now ingrained, you know, and the more time you spend in the church, the more you pick up on these practices, and at the end of the day, you will see yourself doing it.
It is incredibly difficult to think that at such a time these things are happening to children. Now, because I belong to a church and a lot of things are misunderstood about a church, sometimes I just stand here and ignore, thinking, well, they don't get it. So, but in my case, we're talking about things like tithes, like, oh, why do you guys pay 10% of your salary, you know, to church? And many people phrase it in so many different ways. And sometimes you think, you know, I'm not going to argue with them because, whatever. So sometimes when I'm trying to approach this conversation, I'm trying to approach it from a way of, there are people who grew up in this church and probably defend it to the bone. They probably defend marrying and polygamy. But it becomes very difficult for me to even think of where is the defense for this, because everything that is a result of things like child marriage just sounds so contrary to what I feel like church should be promoting, from a person who looks outside and from a person who belongs to a church themselves. So I would like to extend my empathy and to anyone who has been affected by such, anyone who's lost someone because of that. And I think Mark said, like, Onai wants to be cordial about this. It's because I feel like so many people are trapped within the church. And maybe it's actually offensive for me to even say that they are trapped. But I guess from my own limited point of view, this is what it looks and feels like. And I'm a person who does not at all support child marriage. And I do not understand how you could ever do it. But at the same time, again, because I don't belong there, which is why I think it's great to have Mark there, who's like, yo, I don't even like it either. Now, because there was a lot of outrage, I'd like to ask you, Mark. We're on Twitter hashtagging, you've got, you know, pressure groups saying this and that. But then this isn't a new issue, is it?
Honestly, it's not.
Does our outrage work for anything?
No. It hasn't, because I think we mentioned at the beginning, right, while we were talking about why are these people allowed to continue doing this, right? And like we said, there's political ties to all of this. So because of
allegedly.
No, we know they are online.
Okay.
No. Just call it a B, bruh. We know their political ties to this joint. We know. Right. So because of that, they have a certain backing which they know that they, where they get their power from, and they know that they can continue doing what they're doing because they have certain political ties, they have certain people who you know, will let them get away with it, and it won't change. As long as they have those backing, as long as they have that backing, and they have that perceived power due to political involvement, nothing will change.
But
UN will talk, everyone will talk, but nothing will change.
But there wasn't. But on the news, there was a very, very poignant statement about it. I'm forgetting who it was. She spoke on the news, speaking against. They were on the news. They were on 263 chat. They were on all different platforms. They were speaking against it. And this is from a leadership perspective. I dare say political, but it's from a leadership perspective. Do you think that will do enough, like a powerful statement against? Do you think that some of our political leaders, some of our community leaders going there and saying, "Kuti no vananga," I didn't even like the statement. Like, I didn't even like that. You know, which translates to, oh no, just let them grow up and let them get educated and then you can get married to them. And technically it makes sense, but to me it just felt wrong. The way it was said. And I think that these people, these leaders, the community person who was speaking was trying to be cordial, trying to be very nice so that he didn't offend. But I don't know if that's a good approach. But I also don't know if outrage is an approach that works either. Because I'm trying to think, so what can society do? An outright ban, enforcement. I mean, you said if it's political ties, then it feels like there's nothing that can be done, right?
Yes, the kicker, bruh. Do you realize that when this girl passed away, these people were at church in a time when we're saying that there's a lockdown and one should be a church? Do you realize that? So that alone should tell you that if these people can defy the law and be at a gathering when you are saying that we're not allowing gatherings, what does that tell you? What does it tell you? What does it tell you? Let's start there. If these people, when this girl passed away, if they were at church and were saying that we banned all gatherings, including church gatherings, but these people are at church, what does that tell you?
Yeah, it says there's a culture of impunity
until we have legislation that totally bans underage marriages, then this will keep going on, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Until the constitution is amended to those extents whereby it's written down in black and white that you can't marry a girl under the age of 18, then nothing will change. Because having I think, right, I'm not so sure about the constitution. Right now, there's only what, it only speaks of age of consent, right? That's all it does. Nothing about
marriage. I think marriage is 18. Consent is 16. Should be. I think that's the law. Miriam, I don't know if you've got any other questions, but I guess my question is, how do we move on from here? Miriam, what do you think?
I think, I mean, we could say that there could be legislation, of which I'm sure there is, that goes against child marriages. But I think it starts from within the group of people where things aren't right. Like, you know how people say a culture changes over time? I think within a certain church is a certain culture, right? So maybe within that certain church, if they are change makers, even if there are few, and that can then sort of change for the better, that could be a start. I don't know how they would have to do it, but that could be a start. And just, yeah, I don't know. I think that would work. But other than that, I don't know. Hey, I don't know if the outrage that people are having can change anything. Maybe it could, or maybe it might put pressure on the groups. But my hope would be that internally there could be a transformation, and someone within may be able to stand up and say, you know what, I like this church because of A, B, and C, but I feel like the direction in which we're going right now is not a good one, and we need to change. We need to change this whole issue of getting young girls into marriages. We need to change this whole issue of, you know, like we need to change the bad bits. And I'm sure they might be good within the church. I asked Mark if there was any good that he thought there was in the church, which I'm sure there is, but I feel it needs to be an inside out rather than an outside in, because outside in can only, there's only so much the outside can do to change the inside of that church.
Mark, I want to say thank you so much for sharing with us your experience. I know there's so much more that you have experienced that you might not be ready to share. Some that is really difficult to talk about. But for the sake of our own understanding of everything going on, and I'm sure the listeners as well, or those who are part of the church who might have had similar experiences, or maybe those who want to disagree with you. But I am grateful that, you know, you were open to us about it in this manner. Thank you very much. And I really do wish your loved ones and everyone affected negatively by any practiced by any church, the best. And I think, you know, the best way we can, let's protect the child. Let's protect the girl child. Let's protect the girl child, not forget the boy. But right now we're talking about the girl child. Because, you know, the big difference could be made by just allowing children, girls, to grow. And it is incredibly sad. It is incredibly sad that is the current situation in a country that we call our own, in a beautiful religion called Christianity, that such things are happening. And, you know, so many lives being affected, so many lives lost, so many children sick, birth complications. Like, you know, so much we could go on, but I really do wish for the best. Let's take a break and let's get two hashtags on the comms. I don't know if we'll be able to get to the filling station because I'm sure we're already in there by, you know, the first few minutes, but let's get to the hashtags. In hashtags and dot coms, my gosh, I'm trying to be happy, but there's nothing to be happy of. In hashtags and dot coms, I woke up this morning, right? And there was a talk about, you know, Kev the Wedding Planner. Now, when Kev the Wedding Planner trends, you better know that there's a lot of pressure that's coming to guys. So what happened?
There's money involved.
There's money involved. Lots of money. Lots of stack. So there was, I don't know, Miriam, I want to know from your experience what you saw today. Because I could explain it my way, but people have heard me talk in the social. Miriam, let's see you. You are low-key in the same industry Kev is, but not quite.
Tell me what you felt. Tell me what you saw.
I'm like the lower end of what Kevin the Wedding Planner does.
Okay. For those who don't know Kevin the Wedding Planner, for those who don't know Kevin the Wedding Planner, can you please kind of describe or tell people about him?
Kevin the Wedding Planner is a high end wedding planner, but he doesn't just do like weddings. He does like events and proposals. But like by high end, we mean like proposals in like, I remember he did a proposal in like Kariba, and it had like all the bells and whistles, like the red carpet with the candles, with the lights and the chandeliers. Kevin the Wedding Planner will like go to the ends of the world to get you your dream event, which is mostly weddings, but he does bridal showers and baby showers as well. So, yeah.
The cost as well. Include the cost. What you told me in the morning. Tell them.
Oh, okay. So what he did recently, oh my gosh, I saw this on Instagram. So apparently this guy, he surprised his wife. There was like this huge ass box in the middle of a field. Apparently this took place at Harare Sports Club. This huge, imagine this huge gift box, which is like the size of like a cottage, and it's got a red bow, and then the bow got pulled. Oh, and then there's like a red carpet with the rope, and they're walking towards the box, and then the rope, the ribbon on the box get pulled down, and like there's this Range Rover. I'm not good at cars, like Vela. I don't know what type of Range Rover
Vela.
Oh, yeah, Vela.
And there are balloons,
yes,
just
they're like black balloons, and they just, hey, bruh, levels of surprises. So yeah, that's basically what was that. That's what everyone was talking about.
What
killed, was on Instagram.
What killed me about it is that these people looked very young. Like,
you know that statement, Jekuti, you think you're broke, but I mean, you think everyone's broke, but actually you're the one who doesn't have money. Like,
yeah.
Like what are people doing that get them this amount of money? Because I want in too.
Yo, so my biggest takeaway from that, shout out to the gentleman for gifting his wife like that. And I saw this other girl, yeah. Like, and someone was like, did you see her banging body? I'm like, yeah, everything seems perfect about that couple. Dude gifted his wife a Range Rover Vela. Now, here's my thing, yeah? Why is it, it's always dude doing these big, you know, grand gestures. Ladies, where are you? Why can't women hire Kev, the wedding planner, to do something nice for the girls, like for the guys? Why? What's wrong, eh, Miriam? Eh?
What's going on?
Hmm?
I don't know. Maybe we don't know. Like, do you know how difficult it is for guys?
Aibo, if you gift me with the Range Rover Vela, I think that is not a difficult gift to give a guy. Like, don't even, listen, I don't even have to have the box. Just give it to me, Indian. Like, you know, just the way it is.
As is.
You know what I mean?
Don't suffer for a grand gesture.
You know what?
I mean, I don't know. What if she doesn't have Range Rover Velour money, okay?
Miriam, can I ask you though? But when you see this happening, all three of us, you're the married one here. How do you look at your husband after you see this? Do you look at him like, dude, what are you doing?
No, I don't. Because, I don't know what's happening in their household. What if he beats her up every day and he's overcompensating for something that he's doing to her? We don't see all that.
Why are we always moving there? Why?
No, I'm just saying.
Why does a rich nigga have to be a wife beater?
I'm just saying, you asked me a question, which is, do I then look at my husband like, hey, what are you doing? No, I don't look at him like that, because I know I'm in a loving relationship, and I also get my equivalent of Range Rover Velour in whatever form that is that makes me happy. It doesn't have to be like an excessive display of affection like that. But inini, I'm happy with the little things that I get. So,
Little. Damn.
Or nine.
That's what Miri said.
Stop overanalyzing.
I'm messing with Miriam. I'm totally messing with Miriam. I actually really, really do like Miriam's husband. He is like such a stand-up guy. Yeah, I mean, I just saw that. I'm like, Kev is at it again. His price is going up. I've met him once. I think where I work, we wanted to do an event. Hey, yo, bruh, dude knows his thing, man. Like, I ain't even gonna lie. Dude knows his thing. Shout out to him. I like it when young Zimbabweans are able to do all that for other young Zimbabweans. It's just beautiful. I love it. And sometimes I wish those types of young Zimbabweans would be involved in things like tourism. I always see so many dope photographers, so many dope writers, so many dope creatives. And I just wish that they could be within, you know, the system of national planning and stuff without being hampered by, you know, bureaucracy and stuff. So that they can just cook, because this talent is amazing. But, you know, shout out to Kev, the wedding planner. I don't know if we're supposed to feel under pressure because, you know, some people are like gifting their wives Range Rover Velas. I mean, I'll gift with a range of velvets, you know. that's what I can do for now.
You know what they say on social media these days? Because it's not Zono Shikira. Like, just do what's within your range. If your person doesn't appreciate it, maybe, you know, maybe she just isn't the one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know what you can gift her with?
What should I gift her? A picture of a Range Rover Velar. What should I gift her?
Yourself. On your wedding night.
Oh,
I
am a gift. Hey, guys, can I ask you why? You know how girls are like, no, I am the gift. I am the person you're pursuing. Can guys also be the gift?
Yes, why not? 100%, my guy. Why not?
No. Can we also be the gift? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Can you be the gift? Just like for a birthday, like, Jay, I'm your gift.
I know. I'm saying, like, the narrative is women, oh, men, we run, we pursue. And I don't have a problem with that. I love the pursuing is actually fun, by the way. And the woman is like, oh, the gift. But us guys are also, like, you know, human beings. We've got feelings too. Can't we also be a gift?
Yeah.
Like,
wait. You're also a gift. But women are gifts that keep on giving, hey?
Hi, what are you giving?
You buy a woman a house. You make it a home.
Yeah, but I bought the house.
We'll give you a child. What are you saying?
Yeah, but I made you a mother.
The gift that keeps on giving.
How does it keep on giving?
So how come people give their wives push presents and husbands don't get push presents?
You know, husbands should get push presents too. They should. I think. Yeah.
Miri, so you want to
what?
You want a push present?
Yes, a push present for giving you a child.
Haibo, but it's not like, it's like we made the child. It's not like I just.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You know?
You're not giving me the child. You are baking the child. Yes, you deserve a lot.
Yeah, I'm the oven. Exactly. But so you just answered your own question.
Haibo. Ah, all right, guys.
But you're the one, the baker.
I wanted to say something like that, but I mean,
you're the ingredient. You're the ingredient.
You cannot just you know reduce us to being ingredients. You make me look like just paper. I don't know why paper we're doing in a cake, but like
paper with the oven.
I know.
We regulate. We bake. We mold. Eh?
It's a beautiful experience because you know what in life you only women can be like. I carried you for 9 months, like. Guys can't do that. You know, I mean, I can't be like, yo, I carried you ever since, you know what I mean? Yeah, we can't do that.
In honor's case, I've carried you since for the past 20 years, you know, so.
well, half of you, what could have been you? I don't know. Anyway, guys, it's been great. I think we should stop it here. It's been great. Thank you so much for joining us on 99 and the other guys. Thank you for listening to the show. Mark, where can people find you? Hey, I was about to say this weird joke, but I'm like, not now, too soon. Too soon.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're going to say. But like, wow.
No. If you thank it, don't laugh. You're going to hell too. Mark.
I'm thanking it.
No, I want you to watch this
story. Nah, it's okay. Nah, people know where you won't be found. If you don't get it by now, it's okay. Mark is not getting it.
Nah.
Anyway, where can
nah,
people
find, it's okay.
Where can people find you, Mark? And he got it.
And he clicks like now.
Oh, while we're at it, I want to give hold on. I want to give a big shout out to @CGIMuronda, the saint on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. It's always great talking to you on Twitter as well. And I also want to say, where is this? I'm looking for his name. I want to say probably. His name is TiwiKiwi17 on Twitter, Tower. Shout out to you. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I think he's your friend, Mark?
Yes.
TiwiKiwi?
Yes.
17. Yes. Is it TiwiKiwi or TiwiKiwi? I don't know. It's TiwiKiwi. I'm trying to make it sound gangster.
Someone's name.
It's TiwiKiwi, right?
Okay, his name is Tawanda Kawa.
All right. But it's TiwiKiwi. If you look, his Twitter handle says TiwiKiwi. TiwiKiwi. Yes, oh my gosh. It sounds cute. Like TiwiKiwi. Anyway, cool. Shout out to you, TiwiKiwi. I really do appreciate the conversation we have. And please do keep listening, send it and share it to someone. I like his Twitter bio because it says, looking for the how to adult manual. I'm writing my own too because the pen is mightier than the sword. You know what's more mightier than the pen and the sword? The type of job that can allow you to buy a Range Rover Velar for your wife. I swear to you, Emma, you know, you don't need to think about adulting when you've got that. Mark, where can people find you?
Definitely not at the church.
I'm not going to laugh at that. I'm not laughing at all.
I'm on Twitter.
We're not going to do that as well. You know,
I'm on Twitter.
Shauna Pride. Haha. Sorry?
At Kimes.
At Kimes, yeah. Mark.
Then on WhatsApp, hi, my DM. They're very dry.
Okay.
I'm myself out there.
Yeah, your DMs are dry. Cool. Miriam, where can people find you?
People can find me on Facebook, Captain Cakes. You can find me on Twitter too. Like I'm not that active on Twitter, but I am kind of.
Isn't it Captain Gifts and Confectionaries now or something like that?
No, on socials. I told you on socials it's Captain Cakes. So on Instagram and Facebook it's Captain Cakes. And then okay. On Twitter, it's @Miri_Nyakutsuka or Kapta or Miri Captain.
Shout out. Online on all social media platforms. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And follow us at NayoNayoPod on Instagram and Twitter. We talk more on Twitter. And yeah, until then, it's goodbye for now.
Bye. And now.
Capital 263.